With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason joining us right now. Jason, how the hell are you?
Ready to get beat up.
Ready to get beat up?
Yeah.
Well, I want to do this later. I want to get all the good sports stuff out now. Do you think that the Browns, considering what Baker Mayfield allegedly said to the folks at GQ, do you think that the Browns should, how did you put it, Anthony? Should they earn it before they talk?
Should they what?
Should the Browns
earn it?
Hello,
is,
Jason. Good morning.
This is terrific.
Should the Browns earn it before they talk?
No, I thought Anthony was going to jump in. I didn't hear what he said.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Anthony. Tell him.
Yeah, I just look, I have no problem with the fact, Jason, that they're a confident team. I want my team to be confident. And I just wonder, like, do you think John Dorsey wants them maybe not to do every single interview they possibly can do, knowing what the media or what these guys are going to say, how volatile it could end up, and that they're going to be in the headlines every single game before every day before they even play a game?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that actually when both of these stories land on the same day, and I'm curious. Because a lot of times with guys of this caliber, some of these go through the public system, the player, and not the team. Some of them go through the team, some of them go through the public system. I'm curious which one these went through, because now, you know, ESPN's had its fight at the Apple, GQ, and Sports Illustrated have all dropped big stories within the last 1 to 6 weeks. The only one I think that was bad was, I don't think any of them were bad, really. I don't think they were bad. What was in the GQ story that we didn't know? Other than this silly Daniel Jones quote, there's nothing in it. There's nothing in it. Same thing with Sports Illustrated. Aside from the Odell quote about sending me out to die, there was nothing new in it. We know everything there is to know about these guys at this point. That's why, you know, I wrote this morning, it's a silly season, man. Just get to the games. But to your point, yeah, I think, you know, there's always a little bit of trepidation when these things happen, when these guys come to town, and when these stories start getting written. I don't know that you necessarily can stop it. You can decline the interview, certainly, but then you're probably causing more problems than it's worth.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. See, I just look at it from, well, Lambo's hammering me for it because he wanted to put me in fan mode, where I think with fans, I think it's shooting fish in a barrel, Jason. It's been 30 years since they've been good. You got a quarterback who could fulfill their hopes and dreams finally, and that he's talking tough. I don't think where fans are going to find it to be a bad thing. That's why I thought that, if I were him, I probably wouldn't have published what I published or what he published on Instagram saying it was a misquote. I would have just owned it and said, yeah, I don't think he's that great, whatever. Because I think fans would support him. And they ended up supporting him, Jason.
Yeah, to me, that was silly to go out and say that's not what I said. I mean, we weren't there. I wasn't there. I don't know.
It may very well not have been exactly what he said. I'm just pointing out that there were some people who were really upset in the first hour of the show when we talked about it yesterday because it came out around 8:45. But yeah. by the end of the show yesterday, Jason, about 9:45, there were a lot of people going, yeah, you know what? Screw the Giants. Can't stand the Giants. Want the Browns to do well. Don't care about Daniel Jones. I thought he sucked too. I'm with Baker. Your own constituency is the one that's important to you.
No matter what Baker says, Cleveland fans are going to support him. It doesn't matter. He can rip anyone in the league. They don't care. They're going to stand by the quarterback. I get that.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the
show. Jay, the only thing I guess I would say is, you know, nobody is putting a gun to the head of these Browns players to talk. And it's a great story about the turnaround of this football team. But now they got to actually turn it around. It's one thing to get to 7-8-1. That's where the brunt of the league is. Most of the league is in the middle. Now it's time to make that leap. And I just don't know that you can come out and say, oh, you know, I can't believe the media misquoted me or whatever when you're doing every interview humanly possible. These guys love the star appeal. They love the fact that people are coming to Cleveland to write the stories about them. I don't think you can love that fact and then hate what's being written about you.
Well, no, this is a double-edged sword of kind of what you said about doing every single interview. And, you know, I don't think this is always going to be the case. You know, there's a feel-good story right now, but, you know, you don't see the Patriots doing GQ articles And I hate to keep going back to the Patriots, but you can go.
Oh, boy, you both love going back to the Patriots, don't you?
But no, you can go right down the line. Do the Steelers do GQ articles? I mean, Roethlisberger probably.
Do they have anybody worth a damn to do GQ articles? Honestly, does anybody want to hear from Ben Roethlisberger? Does anybody?
People in Pittsburgh do.
Oh, people in Pittsburgh do, but not people across the country. Who wants to hear from Ben Roethlisberger?
So I think they love. I think they love in Pittsburgh and they love in Baltimore that they're flying under the radar. And I think Browns fans would love that story too. If the Browns were the under the radar team, all the Browns fans would be saying, "I love that we're just gonna be this sneak attack in the league."
I don't think Baltimore's flying under the radar, considering every single day we're talking and publishing pieces about Lamar Jackson and whether or not he can throw it.
Nobody is saying that the Baltimore Ravens are like the Super Bowl team. They have done. Meanwhile, they're the team that actually did take the NFL by storm once he took over last year.
I disagree.
But they're not getting that hype. Hype at all.
I know Jason's on the phone with us right now, and I have to invite him back in. But I absolutely disagree. I've been saying the whole time, Steelers fans are all worked up about us. What the hell about the Baltimore Ravens, who were the ones?
Positive about them, and I think their fans love the fact that they're under the radar. And I think our fans would love that angle too. They would say, "I love the fact that no one's talking about the Cleveland Browns right now. We're going to take the AFC North by storm." So fans are just going to like whatever is the storyline, whatever the narrative is.
I don't know if that's true. I think we'd be pretty upset if people weren't talking about the Browns. We had Odell Beckham Jr. on this football team as well as Baker Mayfield. Go ahead, Jace.
Well, no, I just think this is going to go away. Like these profiles are going to go away. The GQ pieces, Sports Illustrated is not going to be here every offseason. It's just because of the hot story right now. But, you know, this isn't going to be a thing every offseason, I don't think.
Jason Lloyd with us on the show. Did you agree with Odell Beckham Jr. when he said that the Giants traded him to Cleveland for his career to go die?
No. Had they done that the year or two prior, yes. But it doesn't make any sense to do that now. Like I said all along, when Jamie Collins was traded here, that was Bill Belichick saying, "Okay, you don't want to take my money, there you go. We're going to send you to Cleveland, see how you like that." And I think probably a little bit had to do with Jarvis Landry winding up here as well. That was Miami's thinking was, okay, see what life's like on the other side. You want to complain about being here, go see what you think of Siberia. But now that doesn't fit because obviously of all the talent that they have and what they were able to accomplish last year with Baker. So I disagree with that. Had it been a year or two earlier, yes, I think he would have been on to something, but not now. Now he makes them Super Bowl contenders.
Mike Fabian sends us a link to a Tom Brady article of Chuck Klosterman from GQ about Deflategate, by the way.
Well, it's not like they've never done it, but my point is they're not going to do it every year.
Well, I don't think the Browns are going to have to do it every year either. I mean, there's going to be other teams that make bigger splashes, so that's part of it as well, Jason. Hey, real quick, do you think that they should play the starters in the third preseason game?
Well, they haven't yet. Why bother now? I was concerned that these guys were not playing at all, but I'm not anymore.
Well, let me ask you this. I did want to ask you, we haven't really talked about it all that much. We were going to get into it earlier in the week, or a couple days ago. But Odell Beckham, like, if you would grade his training camp preseason on a scale of 1 to 10, he's been limited in all the drills. Now you're hearing about this weird hip thing, but supposedly he could play if he had to play. He's probably not going to play a snap in all of preseason. You know, I'm hearing from Giants fans, get ready for it. This is a guy who's injury prone and already he's been limited. How would you grade everything with Odell so far?
I don't know if we have enough. It's inconclusive to me. We don't. What do we have to go on? We don't have very much to go on. But when he's been out there, he's looked fantastic. So I guess for right now, until proven otherwise, we have to take him at their word that he'll be ready to go week one. This is nothing major, and they're just trying to make sure that they get to week one healthy. It makes sense. I understand it. More and more teams are doing it this way. And that's why I said earlier on, a week or two ago, I was getting kind of annoyed and concerned of, okay, what's going on here? But at this point, you just have to take them at their word.
Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. All right, I want to get to something here pressing, but first, do you agree with Aaron Boone that there should be a mercy rule in baseball?
No. No, that's ridiculous. That's the whole point of baseball is there's no clock. That's like putting a clock on it. You play 27 outs and the game's not over until then.
Should I be worried? I agree with you there. Should I be really worried about Brad Hand? Should we have traded him before the deadline?
Well, I mean, you know, I kept saying all along, you have to maximize the value. I think he'll right the ship. I told you when I was in there before, I was okay with them keeping him because they got so much for Bauer. But I still stand by what I said all along, which was his value was so much higher at one point, you have to maximize the asset. Teams in the Indians' position have to do that. They have to look at value. But the other side of that, you know, I was talking to Meisel about this a little bit, and he means so much to that clubhouse. Had they traded him, that really could have gone over poorly in the clubhouse. So I understand why they kept him. But certainly every time he has a performance like that, his value dips a little bit from where it was a month ago to 6 weeks ago.
Jason, it got interesting yesterday. Bull and Fox, it was Bull and you, talking about, I love quoting you while you're on the phone. You guys were talking, at least I know I'm not going to misquote you. You guys were talking about Corey Kluber, and I hadn't even thought about his option next year. I mean, anytime you get a two-time Cy Young Award winner for $17 million, that's a no-brainer. But should we be worried or concerned at all about another setback? I have no idea what his end of the season is going to look like. And now you're talking about a guy going into next year that is, what? How old is he now? He's what, 34? Or this $17 million thing I never thought about before this year.
To me, you pick up the option. It's a slam dunk. He didn't have Tommy John surgery. He didn't have shoulder surgery. It was a fluke. He got hit on the arm on a comebacker, and now he's had an oblique. Now, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. Oblique strains, Stan Conte, the former Dodgers trainer, said on average, this was 2 years ago, on average it takes 35 days for a pitcher to come back from an oblique. Now, obviously, there's different levels. There's different degrees to a strain, but I don't see how he contributes for them the rest of the year. I think it's a crushing blow. Part of the reason I was okay with them trading Bauer was because I was counting on Kluber coming back. And I understand he had ERA over 5 in April. It was April. It was 5 starts. I'm not going to pull the panic button and say that Corey Kluber was done because of a bad April. I think it's a no-brainer. They're still going to pick up the option. It's 2 option years. And as I said to Bull, if Corey Kluber was a free agent right now, can he get a 2-year, $35 million contract on the open market? And absolutely he could. And he certainly could sign. You know, look at Josh Donaldson. That's another one I brought up. Josh Donaldson has had 2 terrible injury-riddled years back-to-back, and he got $23 million from the Braves this year on a 1-year deal. And pitching is more valuable than the third baseman. So it's a no-brainer. I understand it wasn't the season that Corey expected to have, that we expected him to have, but you still pick up that option.
All right, Jason, that's great stuff. Now, what's not so great is why you're not in today. Why aren't you in today?
Because it's the first day of school, Ken. Gotta be here for the first day of school.
What ages are your children?
7 and 9, second grade, third grade, and I've got a senior in high school.
So,
and my wife would kill me if I wasn't
so
here.
What are you doing? What's different? What are you doing today?
Nothing. Taking pictures, walking them to the bus.
Taking pictures for second grade?
Watching them get on the bus.
Second and fourth grade, right?
Third. Second and third.
You have to do this every year?
Yes.
Till they get to what age?
I don't know. At least till they drive.
You got to be kidding.
But do you know? Okay, first of all, I told my wife yesterday, I'm like, they're going to have me on the show to beat me up. And she goes, do they know how many things you've missed in your career for being gone?
I don't care about that. I care about this. I don't care about how good or bad of a father you were in the past. I care about this show right now. You're telling me so I have 3 sons. So I have to be there for all of this stuff?
No, you're a bad father.
I didn't say I was a good father. I'm saying, is this supposed to be socially acceptable where I take off every first day of school for second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and all throughout the grades I have to do something like that? Like, it used to be just either first day of kindergarten or first day of first grade, and that was it.
All I know is, had I not been here this morning, there would have been hell to catch when I got home later.
You
got
to be kidding me. Is your wife there?
Hell to catch.
Is your wife there right now?
Oh, no, I'm hiding in the basement. I'm covering the basement. I don't want her to hear this.
Put her on the phone. Put her on the phone.
Oh, boy. All right, hang on.
You going to go put her on the phone?
Are you all right,
here we go.
Why would you do that?
Put her on the phone.
Stand your ground, Ken.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I got to find her.
Tell her, hey, you got to tell her she's on the radio.
Yeah, Ken wants to talk to you.
She told him. He told her.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Lloyd. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Carmen. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. You're on the radio right now.
Oh, that's great.
I have to ask you, why is it important that Jason be there for second and third grade's first days?
Well, number one, his mini, my third grader, my incoming third grader, idolizes this man, and we've tried to tell him otherwise, but he just loves his dad. So he would be very sad if dad wasn't home. And my daughter is like every other little girl. She also idolizes her dad and wants him there all the time. And I told him yesterday, let them make fun of you because you have missed plenty of things over the years by not being here for work. So,
well, what's the difference, though? What if it would just been tomorrow, the second day?
We don't take pictures on the second day. That's
why not?
Kind of weird.
No one knows any better.
That could be your celebration. That would mean more to them than anything in the world.
What if
we do the second day?
No, you don't scrapbook pictures of the second day of school. I don't think that's ever happened.
Why don't you scrapbook pictures of the last day of school? No one gets a day off for that. You do that?
I do. I took pictures of them on the last day.
So in May, do I have to make sure that Jason has the day off and doesn't come in to make sure he's there for the last day of school?
As long as he doesn't miss our oldest son's graduation, then I'm good with that.
Oh, my gosh. You really drive a hard bargain there. Mrs. Lloyd, I'm sorry.
Have you met him? I have to.
You know, he's not that bad of a dad.
So how do you feel about the fact that Ken doesn't express any interest in doing this for his three sons whatsoever?
The first day, maybe, but not second and third grade. You're on your own.
Well, they're little, though. Aren't they really little?
Yeah, but eventually they're going to go to school. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Lloyd?
We'll see what your wife does on the first day.
We welcome her to the show, only way we know how.
Mrs. Yes. Lloyd, how well do you know the show?
I listen.
Indoctrinated.
You're welcome.
Welcome to your first day on the show.
Yeah.
We took pictures.
Yeah.
Get your scrapbook ready to go. Get your decoupage ready.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.